Yes, literally my first day.
Not my first event.
This is the Cancer Action New York News Conference. Today we have Dr. David O. Carpenter, MD, from SUNY Albany Institute for Health and the Environment. The SUNY Albany Institute for Health and Environment has been recently named a WHO World Health Organization Worldwide Center, and it's largely because of Dr. Carpenter's work on the persistent organic pollutants. In 2010, the WHO, with the work of David Carpenter and Simona Sirdu at SUNY Albany, published this report, this persistent organic pollutants impact on child health. And there's been very little attention to that report. There's been very little attention to the fact that Dr. Carpenter's center has been named a WHO center. And it's all about why there are so few news media here today. It's this thing that the people that created the problem with the POPs, the PCBs, the dioxins, the brominated flame retardants, those people hold the power, and they don't want the public knowledgeable about these chemicals. And the public will be more knowledgeable if they have the news media reporting about these chemicals. And so that's where we're at right now. Hopefully things will change. We have one reporter here who's very honorable and not at all interested in what the corporations want. So there's a little bit of revolution right there. We're going to talk today about a particular group of the POPs. The POPs include dioxins and brominated flame retardants and PCBs and pesticides. And we're going to talk about dioxins, and a specific focus on dioxins today is the U.S. EPA's oral reference dose for dioxin. EPA published reanalysis of key issues related to dioxin toxicity and response to NAS comments in February of 2012. And since that time, I was thinking they were doing good stuff. I felt that this is good, they're moving forward, they've ignored all the pressures that were upon them that kept them from doing anything on the dioxin reassessment. This is part of the EPA dioxin reassessment, it's the non-catcher part. Corporations had kept that from being published in any part since way back in the 90s. It was nearly 30 years that they were working on to get this out, but they got it out, and I'm thinking, hooray. But then this colleague of mine in Ontario, Canada, Linda Gasser with Prevent Cancer Now, she said, Donald, you should look at what EPA is saying about that report and about the oral reference dose. So rather than look at it, I wrote some questions down and I emailed them to Letitia Petawhite, who's in the media relations office with EPA, the headquarters in Washington, and she sent me back these really crappy answers. They just didn't answer my questions. They merely just said, dioxin exposure of Americans is lower than the oral reference dose. The food supply is safe. Dioxin exposure at low levels is known to not cause any harm. And that was all they said. That was the substance of what they said. And that's all false. So I felt very pissed about it. And I emailed them back and said that it was false and that they should, you know, just answer these questions in a legitimate manner. But they didn't. They never have. And it's been months and months and months now. Every time I try to talk to the regional administrator, Judith Ank, in Region 2 EPA, I am sent back to the media people, and they just keep saying, do you want more information? I said, yeah. And then I send them questions, they just give me the same answers. So today, we're going to be talking about the true scientific significance of the oral reference dose and Dr. Carpenter's own.
Do I need to go up there and go on?
Maybe. If you want to, it might work better.
Do you have any questions for Donald before we go on?
I want to see if I can get more educated about this before I ask something.
Well, I'd prefer to sit right here, if that's all right, given that we're such a huge crowd. Can I be picked up there, Don? The background on this EPA dioxin reassessment is that it was first published as a draft document about 15 years ago. And it made the conclusion that dioxin, especially the most potent congener, that was the one that was in Agent Orange that was used in Vietnam, was a proven human carcinogen. And it raised real issues about the safety of our food supply. It, in part, triggered the revisions of the Clean Air Act that resulted in a reduction of releases of dioxin from incinerators and power plants. But the report was never accepted. And it really was, as Don indicated, that industry was vehemently opposed to the conclusions that dioxin was as dangerous as the report indicated it was. Now, there have been, as Don mentioned also, the National Academy of Sciences was asked to look at the report and make specific recommendations. If I remember correctly, the initial report came out in 2003, but
yes,
it may have been even earlier than that. So this has been around for a long time. So what this part is the non-cancer reassessment. And again, it's still in a draft form. Now, they got together a group of scientists to, not just EPA people, but a group of scientists to devise this report and make recommendations. There are several things about it that are important to mention. They decided that they only could draw conclusions from humans that were exposed only to dioxin, and particularly only to tetrachlorodibenzodioxin, TCDD, which is the most toxic congener that most people use that term synonymously with the term dioxins, although there are other dioxins. And the reality is that there was only one human population that met those criteria, and that was the residents of Seveso, I don't know how it's pronounced, Italy, where there was a pesticide plant that exploded, and TCDD was a byproduct of the manufacture of the pesticide there. And people in quite a large surrounding area were bathed in this dioxin that was in the air and then got into the food supply and everything. And that population has been studied for about 30 years for a host of different diseases. And what this committee decided, they were looking for the diseases for which there was the lowest concentration that was correlated with the disease. They reported two diseases that had the greatest sensitivity. One was suppression of thyroid hormone function in infants, and the other was sperm counts in men who were exposed to dioxin before the age of 10 years. So I think right there's something important to say, that exposure of children is probably more important than exposure of adults. And that's, from my perspective as a public health physician, that's a major conclusion about most exposures, that children, because their bodies are growing and developing, because they have more years of life to live, are the most vulnerable segment of the population. And so they have set values that are called reference doses. I should say one other thing about reference doses. EPA has long held the assumption for risk assessment purposes that for cancer, there's a linear dose response curve. In other words, if something's a carcinogen, there's no concentration that isn't carcinogenic. But for non-cancer inputs, they have always assumed there's a threshold below which there is no hazardous effect. I'm not sure I agree with that, but that is their operating hypothesis. And so they have set the daily intake of dioxin based on the values in these men with reduced sperm counts and these infants with depressed thyroid function. The question is, this is a relatively small population. They don't have good data on many of the other indicators that are very important, such as neurobehavioral indicators. Still, the value that they came down with, and I was going to check this before I came, it was
0.7
picograms per
dioxin
kilogram.
TEQ per kilogram body weight per day. 0.7.
And that's just about it's just slightly above the average intake in Americans today.
And see, can I just jump in there? That is a per capita. The number, the estimate of exposure that EPA presents is, it's a per capita number. I carefully discussed that with the EPA. They say it's per capita. So this, it's not the average exposure that meat eaters get. It's the average exposure that people that don't eat meat average together with people that do eat meat get.
It's the general population.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now, as that statement implies, for most of us in this country, when we're not around exploding pesticide plants, our major exposure to dioxin is from consumption of animal fats. Dioxins are fat soluble. They're present along with all kinds of other chemicals, PCBs, which are a big deal here, DDT, other chlorinated pesticides, brominated flame retardants that are in the carpet and upholstery on chairs like the one I'm in that has upholstery, all of which are fat soluble, are persistent, are either known or probable human carcinogens. And so that information was not used in doing this dioxin reassessment. I think I'll stop right there.
So the idea is that if this number happened to be tweaked just a little bit, then suddenly a large percentage of the population of the United States is now receiving dangerous doses according to the EPA, if they tweak that number because of...
Well, their reference number is just barely above, it's 7 in the reference, and the reference number is 5.
They say EPA's estimate, current estimate, is 0.6. But the only reason they have that number, in the 2003 document, it was 1. It was 1 picogram per kilogram, 1 picogram dioxin TEQ, and this TEQ is toxicological equivalent quantities. So 1 picogram TEQ per kilogram body weight per day. That was what EPA said in 2003. But then in 2006, they reanalyzed the data and set the no detects to 0 rather than to 1/2 the level of detection. And this is that's not the standard uniform way of analyzing data. They just fudged it. They got that number down below 1 because they wanted to be below the 0.7. So they got it down to 0.6 just because of the way they handled the data.
But the point is, if that's the mean exposure, then if it were the mean exposure, then 50% of the population would be above the mean.
Right.
So this report certainly is not saying that dioxin has no hazardous effects on non-cancer endpoints. We'll see what happens.
This is really a very technical topic we're giving you today for your first day, unfortunately.
Okay. A little bit of science background I'm trying to pull.
Well, we can talk about politics, too.
I'll
just talk a little bit about the politics of this. I was out in Montana. I was out in Flathead County, Montana. And when I go to these different places, I talk to the public health leader in these particular places. This guy's name is Joseph Russell. He's the public health officer for Flathead County, Montana. He works for the county government to do health. And he said he totally agreed with the science that's in the WHO POPs report. In this WHO POPs report, the EPA's part, you know, the EPA reassessment and on dioxin, that has to be seen in the context of that WHO POPs report, because the WHO report looks at all the chemicals, dioxins, PCBs, flame retardants, and those are all in our bodies, and we all get exposed to all of them when we eat animal fat. And the diseases are similar. It's very similar to the disease effects of, like he said, they're all likely to be or known to be human carcinogens. Well, they also impact lots of other systems.
At least some of them do. Some of the PCBs act just like dioxin. That's where this toxic equivalence terminology came from. So when you're exposed to a mixture of different chemicals and they all do the same thing, albeit with different potencies, then you look for the aggregate activity. In this EPA reassessment, they specifically did not do that. They looked for only at the population that was only exposed to TCDD.
And the one in the door.
So the broader category they talk about, if they want to talk about the whole category, sometimes they say that dioxin and dioxin-like compounds, and then they talk about all of them at once, which is probably more appropriate for public health, as sure. You mentioned, the flame retardants and all those others. So should I go ahead now, or?
Just let me see a little bit more. This Joseph Russell, he agreed about the science. And what that report says, it's very straight. It says, take action. It says that the public health officials, like Mr. Russell, and we have a Dr. Hathaway in our county, and I don't know, it's Dr. Crusetti down here in Albany County. It says that those people, together with private physicians, you know, the doctors that work with people every day, says they should join forces to minimize the exposure that children receive to these chemicals. That means that kids should not be eating. Right in the report, it says kids shouldn't be eating hot dogs, hamburger, bologna, you know, all these animal fat packages. You know, it's just there's more animal fat in those foods than you need to be healthy, and that is harming people. According to the science that's available now, the exposure that kids get to persistent organic pollutants in animal fat is harming them. With the dioxins, it's causing lowered sperm count and it's causing lowered thyroid function. And then there's the whole cancer problem that's part of the scientific literature. According to EPA's unpublished part, the cancer part, it's about 1 in 1,000 cancer risk imposed just by the dioxin exposure. Not to add on the PCB exposure and the flame retardant exposure and the DDT and the chlordane and the hexachlorobenzene and all these many, many chemicals that are carcinogens and are lipophilic and are in animal fat and are in kids' bodies and cause disease. So basically what we're finding here is that the political forces, which are shaped by the economic forces, which basically means that just that the powerful people that have the money run the show, they have decided they do not want to look at and deal with this thing of the persistent organic pollutant burden of people's bodies and causing diseases like cancer and type 2 diabetes and heart disease. They don't want to deal with that. So EPA, in attempting to avoid that, they struggle with just one small little group of the total POPs. They just, 30 years they deal with dioxins. And then they come out after 30 years and say, well, they're not hurting anybody. They're not harming anyone at low levels. The problem is, they say low. Low is a relative word. These are small quantities, but they are harming people because the levels at which kids are exposed are over the level that he said causes lowered sperm count and reduced thyroid function. And there's, you got to add cancer on too, and cognitive deficits. There's many diseases caused by this. And EPA is cheating by only looking at a small part of the picture and then saying, they said to me, the food supply is safe. It's a lie. It's not safe. They said it because the corporations want them to say that. And that's all. That's the end of it. And Mr. Russell, he said that they would not educate on this in Montana. And up in St. Lawrence County, where I'm from, they say to me, we won't educate on this. And they say it's because they don't want to harm the farmers. They say they don't want to harm the farmers. But the truth of it is, they don't want to harm their vote count. They do care about the farmers, but not, I don't think they care about them enough to risk going against all this science and all this years of people being cheated on this. It's politics. It's all politics.
Okay, so the idea here is awareness, but assuming this became a major issue, what kind of policy suggestions would you
let me answer that. I was on a National Academy panel on dioxin and dioxin-like compounds in the food supply. The reason that dioxin is in animal foods is that we're feeding waste animal fats back to animals we eat. Cows are not normally carnivorous, but commercial cattle food contains the fat from pigs and chickens, and also from fish. Now, we don't feed cow fat to cows anymore because we're afraid of mad cow disease. But the reality is that we've reduced the production of dioxin enormously in the U.S., mainly because of the Clean Air Act. But nobody is preventing these contaminated waste products from slaughters from being put back in the food supply. So you can't drink a glass of whole milk, can't eat an egg, slab of butter, pork, chicken, beef. Fish are probably the most contaminated, but fish get them from the the contaminated sediments. But for the other animals, again, not carnivorous animals, the solution is to stop adding waste animal fats to animal feed. Now, you know, the people in the agricultural industry will say, what are you going to do with all that waste fat? And, you know, that's an issue. But the question is, just because it makes the animal grow a little faster, how do you balance that against the public health?
This honestly is fascinating to think that it's a stark contrast from where I came from. I think that's part of the story, honestly, that there's no one here.
Yeah.
And this is science, and what's going on there is, Mr. Cuomo, are you ready for that?
Yeah.
Well, let me do my little thing, and I can give you a copy of this.
Thank you.
Also. So for approximately 27 years, the chemical industry has been meeting in secrecy to try to figure out a way to prevent the public from hearing the truth about the most toxic substance that they ever produced. But what's amazing is that despite the terrible assault on environmental regulations that we've had recently, and even on EPA itself coming from the House of Representatives, in a bold move this year, EPA actually finally released this assessment after 27 years. And it's an assessment of the myriad of health effects associated with dioxin, but really just the non-cancer effects, not the the cancer effects. That's another portion that's still to come. Who knows how many more years that'll be.
And that's the more controversy one, too.
Right. So it is a known human carcinogen, dioxin. And not only is it highly toxic in very, very, very small doses, but it affects a myriad of body systems, immune, nervous, endocrine or hormonal, and reproductive systems. And these are not mild adverse effects. They're very serious effects. And one of the things that's interesting is that it's affecting our control mechanisms, the nervous system, the hormonal system, are control mechanisms in our body, so that what we have is a small signal and a large effect. Small signal in the body and a very large effect. You know, like a traffic light exerts considerable effect on how traffic moves, right? That's what's happening here with these endocrine effects and nervous system effects. So dioxin is not only doesn't degrade in the environment, that's another problem with these, the fact that it's very, very toxic. It doesn't degrade, it hangs out there for a long time, and it bioaccumulates in the food chain. So we're getting higher and higher doses as time goes on. And we receive the majority of our exposure, 90%, from food, from meats, milk, and dairy products, and fish. So even without the cancer health assessment, which is, as we expect, is many years in the future, we know enough now to take public health actions immediately, actions geared to protect the health of the public. And I've defined it here as two actions that are needed by EPA. The first is to begin to reduce dioxin discharges or releases to the environment to as close to zero as possible. And this is essential because of the fact that dioxin does not degrade. In other words, every year we accumulate more and more in the environment. And one example of this, that is between 2009-2010, dioxin releases were up 18%. So we need to really work on that. Large discharges, I highlighted the one particular industry, they're associated with the polyvinyl chloride industry, a type of plastics, PVC plastics. They have a particularly toxic life cycle, for the production of PVCs. They also include the release of another carcinogen, vinyl chloride, as well as dioxin. And then there's the burning of waste, such as in incinerators. That's another dioxin source, key dioxin source. So the one action that EPA needs to take is to reduce these dioxin releases to zero. And the second action is for the public to receive information about how to reduce their exposure. And how do they do that? They have to get information about choosing the food that they eat. So this is really critical for the protection of children and pregnant women. When we go food shopping, most of us do not put dioxin on our shopping list. We don't say we're looking for a can of dioxin on the shelves to supplement our diet, but we're getting it all the same. What we try to do is we try to go buy nutritious food at the supermarket. But unknown to most of us, we're feeding our kids and our families dioxin. So all of us are contaminated. Every single American is contaminated with dioxin. And many of us would call this chemical trespass. It's a toxic invader without our permission. We didn't say, look, we wanted dioxin in our diets, but we've got it anyway. That's chemical trespass. So EPA is in fact not just an environmental agency, it's a public health agency. They're in charge of protection of our environment. And we need the agency to act in conjunction with other federal and state agencies to issue food advisories to the public. Many of our foods are already labeled with fat content, sodium content, labeled about trans fats. And surely we can issue advisories about how Americans can limit their intake of dioxin and consume a more healthy diet. So we should be able to do that. I want to mention that EPA has taken, since they released this, they've taken action to issue new cleanup standards for contaminated properties, say Superfund sites. For the residential standard, that's at 50 parts per trillion. That's what they've said. The cleanup has to be to 50 parts per trillion. And indicates how toxic dioxin is, how small the quantities are. 1 part per trillion is equivalent to 1 millionth of 1 part per million, or a millionth of a millionth. So it's an extremely small quantity of what we're talking about for dioxin, millionth of a millionth.
It's often called the most toxic chemical ever made.
Right.
And it was not intentionally made. It's a byproduct.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I've got some of that stuff for you, including the part about a million.
Oh, thank you.
Very, very complex. Some of this is very complex. But
I'm going to have
thought that might help.
I've got a plane to catch up.
Thanks, David. Have
thank
a
you,
great
David, and it was
summer.
Great to see you.
To see you. Good luck.
Have a nice day. And I also have a timeline of some of the history of the delays of this health assessment of dioxin that gives you an idea of Agent Orange and the Seveso accident and all of this. So thought that might be interesting.
That's very important because it serves as strengthening to this claim that we're making, that there is science here that's valuable to the public, and yet it's not being used. And so in your mind, you're thinking, well, are they right or not? Is it true, or are they just like these troll makers and not, comfortable with the current leadership? But we're not making trouble. Any reasonable person, I said to James, your editor, I said to him, a sixth grade student could understand that when we just talk the basics of this, that there is science that shows harm at a certain level of exposure, and the exposure is occurring above that level, a sixth grader would say, well, I don't understand how they came up with that science. But those statements, this fact of there being harm occurring and there being exposures above the level that caused that harm, I understand that. There's harm occurring. And yet EPA says no, and they just keep saying per capita. And they don't say per capita. They just say the exposure of Americans is below the reference dose. But it's not true. The Americans that eat animal fat and the kids are exposed above the reference dose, and they won't admit that because the corporations don't want them saying that.
And, you know, Dr. Carpenter mentioned the thyroid, which is a very important gland, controls a lot of the other activity in your body, of your cells, you know, metabolizing. And kids that have a low thyroid end up having a lowered IQ, lower ability to learn. So it affects kids for their lifetime if it's not caught early. That's why one of the things that I stress, when my daughter, I've got two beautiful grandchildren, as soon as my daughter was pregnant, I said, you go get yourself a thyroid test. Make sure that you're not low thyroid. It's an extremely important thing because it affects, you know, a child's entire life. And that's why, you know, these issues are extremely important. They're severe health effects that we're talking about. So I hope this is helpful. I mean, I tried to write it up because I know how
complex very wise, this is. Very wise.
And so.
There's another point I'd like to make. Some public health entities are acting on this. You know, we don't want to say they're all bad. The Albany County Public Health Department, its Commissioner James Crusetti, MD, he consulted with Dr. Carpenter. I made a presentation to the Albany County Board of Health years ago. It was a long time ago. Because, see, this problem has existed for a very long time. Made that presentation probably, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. And it took them time, but they decided. And if you go on Albany County Public Health's website right now, there's a dioxin exposure reduction message. It doesn't just say only, it doesn't just say we recommend you reduce your consumption of animal fat because animal fat appears to cause disease. They go on and tell the whole story. They say that there are chemicals in the animal fat that are known to cause disease, and you can reduce your exposure to dioxins by eating less animal fat. And then it says another reason for not eating animal fat. You know, the old story was just don't eat it because we think it causes you to get obese and it causes heart disease and it causes diabetes and cancer. Now they're saying you can reduce your dioxin exposure because it's the dioxins in the animal fat that you're going to not be getting when you don't get the animal fat. And see, that's a totally different story than what is heard conventionally. All these years that the dioxins have been present there, they've been in there, but the story has been it is the animal fat that causes cancer. It is the animal fat that causes heart disease. No, it's not. It's the poison in the animal fat, the dioxins, and this is a part of that story coming out.
That's a very important point.
It's the whole story.
Let me ask you, I think we could use that information from Albany County to send to the other health departments around the state.
I've done that with St. Lawrence County, and they just ignore it. All they do is act like, we didn't hear that. That's all they do. It's a dairy farming...
Well, yeah.
Power base. It's just dairy farming. My county legislator, his name is Scott Sutherland, S-U-T-H-E-R-L-A-N-D. He agrees with the science in that WHO POPS report. He considers the exposures that are occurring now to be harmful to kids and to adults, too. And he tried to get our county public health department to do something like what Albany County did, and they would not do it. You know, we had a county legislator that actually went to bat on this and tried to get the county health department to start educating St. Lawrence County residents about the presence of dioxins and PCBs and flame retardants, not just dioxins, but all these chemicals, to educate on those being present in animal fat. And the resolution that came before our county legislature, it was shot down 8-5. Five of them voted for it, that they thought that education should take place on the POPs and the diseases they cause and the exposures that are occurring. You know, every time you go out and buy meat or fish or dairy products or eggs, he tried hard, and he's still trying. He wrote a letter to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, asked the National Center for Environmental Health to work with St. Lawrence County to educate on this. Because, see, we got more problems than the average Americans. We've got big PCB Superfund sites, and if Dr. Carpenter was still here, he could explain to you how that when people live near a place where PCBs or dioxins or flame retardants have been disposed of and just on the ground, in the water, they're not eating that, they're breathing it. Respiratory exposures from contaminated sites are a significant part. Dr. Carpenter has actually teased out the scientific details of this, where he has found a statistically significant association between, I'm certain it was diabetes and heart disease, for people who live near POPs contaminated sites.
PCB sites, yeah.
Yep. And so that I was up in Fort Edward just today, you know, doing a news conference.
So you're in
Nobody
St.
came.
County?
I'm in St. Lawrence, yeah. Nobody came. Nobody came to my news conference up there because the GE factory is right next door to the county government, and I was trying to get the county government to educate on PCBs. It's all so obvious,
so
you know.
It's all political.
It's also obvious. It's very obvious.
Yeah, you know, if you see Mikkel's stories, often it's infectious disease what gets a lot of coverage, and the coverage of toxic chemicals gets almost nothing by comparison.
And that's just because the GE owns, you know, I can't remember which it is, but GE owns some large media entities. They just bought them to use to keep us in the dark on these problems that they have created. It's huge. It's truly.
GE's NBC, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And then there's GE, this big chemical company, owns some big media entity. And then there's one of the other media entities, I think CBS, is owned by some other well-recognized involvement, you know, one corporations that are involved in chemical use. It's just blatantly obvious, you know, that the truth is not being, this is about the truth coming out. And if the truth doesn't come out, people will continue to get sick because you see it right here. If you do a story, and believe me, James is struggling with this. Your editor is struggling with this because Trevor Alford was an intern long before you being an intern here now. And Trevor was right in this room talking to Dr. Carpenter and I. It was a couple years ago. And we were talking about the same exact subject, the POPs and the disease. And Trevor wrote this great story, but it never got published. I know he wrote it because he sent me a copy of it. James sent me a copy of it. And I edited it to get it, you know, perfected with the science, you know, just to fix a couple of little mistakes, you know. The story never was published.
Well, is James interested more in it now?
Well, he sent him. He's interested, but he's struggling because it's dangerous. You know, those chemical companies, talking about this stuff.
An extreme way to look at it is to say, well, become a vegetarian. But you don't have to do that to change your diet and limit. You can reduce. And a lot of people are already doing that because they hear about heart disease. They're already saying, I'm going to limit my fat intake. I'm going to reduce the fat, you know, have lean meats, or I'm going to have vegetarian meals once in a while during the week, two or three times a week, rather than, you know, eliminate it altogether. Or I'm not going to have hamburgers, which have a high portion of fat in them. I'm going to, personally, I eat veggie burgers. I find that it's all the stuff you put on top has nothing to do with the hamburger meat. It's the veggie burgers, and then the onion, the lettuce, the tomato is what makes it taste good. So there's a lot of ways people can change their diet without going completely vegetarian, you know.
Low-fat milk. It's just the fat.
Non-fat milk.
These chemicals are in the fat.
Almond milk, soy milk. There's a lot of choices people can make to reduce their intake of dioxin. Anyway, I think we kept him long enough. Now he's going to have to find out from his editor what he wants to say.
If you got any questions, you know, just shoot.
What is the exact relationship between the POPs report and what the EPA does? Is it the same thing? I'm just trying to get that.
Nope. The EPA, the title of the EPA report that oral reference dose is in. And
yes.
See, that's the most important part. That's the kernel. The oral reference dose is the kernel in this 1,000-page report, you know. It's called reanalysis of key.
It's an extremely technical report.
Yeah, it's disgusting. They did
it's
that. So they did that so people wouldn't read it. See, that's a good point right there. EPA has not published anything that the public can benefit from, except to say this is not harmful, and it goes against their own report. They're these.
Anytime you have a dose, the reference dose, or it's supposed to mean the health protective dose, and if it's close to the exposure that people are currently having, that's a concern.
You warn them.
That's a very serious concern. And that's what we have now. We have a situation where many people are eating way over that reference dose.
And EPA won't concede that. EPA will not say that right there. I said to them, what about the animal fat consumers? They're getting more exposure than the reference dose, and they never answer the question. They refuse to answer that question. You ask them. I'll email you the telephone number for Dr. Vincent Cagliano. He's the director of the Integrated Risk Information System. They put that oral reference dose right on their website as if, oh, here we are. We're so careful. We have a risk assessment all done for dioxin. We're taking care of the Americans, and yet they cheat on what it means. It's very, very bad.
But he doesn't need to call all these people. I mean, David Carpenter is
you
like
don't,
a
you
researcher
don't.
Who's done.
Well, what I mean is, I want him to see.
He is an incredible researcher, Dr.
Exactly.
Wright,
I want you to see that Dr. Cagliano won't answer your questions. He won't. He wouldn't dare. If you call him up and say to him, are people being exposed above the oral reference dose? He will cheat. He'll give you this real long, complicated answer.
Yeah,
he'll avoid the question. And then if he does say they are being exposed over it, they'll say, but we don't know what that means. They do know what it means. It reduces sperm count and it causes the thyroid not to function right. Very, very important.
I'm going to give you a copy. This is I made these
That'd
copies.
Be great. Oh yeah, I want
in case more people came, but they didn't come. So
yep, it's just. See, this is what we're up against.
I'll be in the office later if you need me for anything.
Okay. This is what we're up against. People don't feel comfortable with this story. I've had people say to me, you know, it's the hardest thing that we're ever going to do, getting people to face the fact that we use chemicals too casually. We use them too casually, and it's caused a huge amount of harm. And now nobody wants to deal with it. You know, the chemistry teachers in the high schools, they kind of feel like,
but if we
well,
have labeling for things
know,
like fat and sodium and stuff like that, calories on the food that you buy, shouldn't we have labels on something as toxic as dioxin?
They should. It's all just plain reasonable. Any kid would want that. Childhood cancer rates are rising. Every kid would say, please, tell us where the dioxin is. We don't want it. But we're not getting ruled by children. We're getting ruled by old men that poisoned the food supply and now don't want to get the heat for it. It's as simple as that, really. They would lose their political power if it came out that they'd poisoned everybody and caused this disease, and they don't want to lose their political power. That's all it is.
Well, I think I'm going to head back to the office. How's that sound to you?
This is fantastic. You guys, we are a great threesome. You know, David, the scientist, and you're very good at putting this stuff into, like, these very powerful words for him. And, you know, we're just working on this. Believe me.
Well, I'll be around. I'll be around tomorrow at the office. I gave you my card, and you've got the paper there. So
that WHO report, I highly recommend that you read. Its title is Persistent Organic Pollutants: Impact on Child Health. All you got to do is Google WHO, 2010, Persistent Organic Pollutants: Impact on Child Health. You just Google that. That it's right there on the website of WHO. Dr. Carpenter Center is a WHO center now. We've got what it takes right here to do this kind of educating. It's all a matter of whether the people that have the power will let it come out or not.
So that's basically an example of the kind of thing the EPA is not saying straightforwardly.
Pardon me?
That's kind of an example of the sort of thing that the EPA is not saying straightly.
Exactly. The WHO told the truth. That is the straightest. I honor them. We did a news release
isn't
saying honor to WHO. Persistent organic pollutants, you know, it's all spelled out.
Oh, it is a lot, but I thought you can get it just
you probably could get it that way. You could get it that way.
All right, I'm going to head back to the office.
Well, thank you so much for coming, Barbara.
Okay, thanks.
It's so good, you know, to have you guys come together on this. It's...
And I hope you do a story.
Yeah. And if you want to look at some stories that have been done on this, I'll email you a story that Jeff Myers did from up at, you know, Plattsburgh Press Republican up in Clinton County. And I'll email you the story that Kathleen Crowley did when we were discussing the relevance of this scientific knowledge to the state's cancer plan. And see, there's a whole other story right there. New York State Department of Health is supposed to have a cancer plan right now, but they don't have one. And it's all because they are afraid to put anything about chemicals causing cancer in the cancer plan. They just keep wanting to have an old-style cancer plan, such as what they had back in the, you know, before 2003, when our group challenged them and started pushing on them to change this whole story they're putting out. We want the whole story, not just that the animal fat causes cancer, but the chemicals in the animal fat cause cancer. And they don't want to do that, so they're just stalling and stalling on publishing the next generation cancer plan. The old cancer plan ended in 2010. Here we are, halfway through 2012, and no cancer plan. It's all because they're afraid. It's just, it's like with the fracking. The governor and the Department of Health, they won't do a health impact assessment, and yet all the scientists are saying, do a health impact assessment, because they know if they did one, they'd decide, oh my God, we can't do this to New York State. It's already been proven to cause all this damage to health in Texas and Colorado and Pennsylvania and Ohio. It's just, this is ridiculous. It's all about not using science because the people that have the power don't want to use science. That's all it is. And what is public health other than the whole idea of public health is to provide warnings of avoidable hazards. The biggest hazard that exists right now is POPs in the food supply.